The Recruitment Rollercoaster Podcast. My name's Hisham Azouz, and this is the show where I bring to life the true failures, successes, and learns from recruiters and recruitment business owners. Today, I'm joined by Toby Babb, who is the founder and CEO of Harrington Star. Toby started his recruitment career back in 2000. He then founded his current company in 2010. And within 8 years of starting Harrington Star, he has become a global leading recruitment firm, operating within the financial services and commodities technology space. Within this time, Toby has interviewed some of the most influential professionals with his weekly shows, Recruiter 360 TV and FinTech Focus TV. Toby has really created a recruitment business to be proud of, and he has very big ambitions to grow as Harrington Star now have an office in New York and prepare to take over the world. In this conversation, we discuss the challenges of running your very own recruitment firm and how Toby has managed to build a thriving and growing business. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Toby Babb, thanks for joining me.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me.
No worries. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good. Thanks.
Good, good. Thanks for your time, Toby. Really appreciate it. No problem. I've done a short snippet into sort of your life as a recruiter everyone. There is definitely a few things that I want to ask you by the end of the conversation. But what one of the first things, which I guess you probably get a lot, if I'm honest, but I think it's a good question. Obviously, you've sort of built and co-founded your current recruitment business. So I know a lot of people do really aspire to that and want to sort of build their own recruitment business. So if there was sort of one key thing which you've learned through your journey, what advice would you give to those sort of thinking about making a plunge and sort of becoming self-employed? I know it's a big question.
One's a difficult one to answer. there's so much stuff you pick up and I think people, in my mind, the one thing is people start too quickly on it, and I think that can be an issue. It took me, I worked for 10 years in two big companies before I started this company. I built fairly big teams for other people by that sort of stage, and I know that people jumped a little bit quickly. And what I see, I think there's 32,000 recruitment companies in the UK. There are companies starting up every single day, and I think more than 90% of those, the figures might be slightly off, are companies there who flop because they go too early or don't do more than £1,000 and become those sort of bedroom operators. So I think the bit of advice I have is give yourself some time. It doesn't need to be a race for you to start your own business. And there's an awful lot to learn about the industry that you can do in some great places. So find a place there that's going to give you some exposure, some opportunity, and some timescales to actually not just learn the art of recruitment, which is the easy side, but how to build a team and how to get the most out of people and everything like that. I think that's that sprint, that marathon rather than sprint mentality is an important part of it.
So be patient, and I think obviously in today's social climate, it is all about being self-employed and having your own business, isn't it? So exactly. I think obviously myself, only been in the industry for just over 2 years. I think if I was to go, you know what, I'm going to start on my own, I'd know how to do the recruitment part, but I'd have no idea to do the other part. And people underestimate how big that is, right? Because why would I get all these billings for someone else when I can do it for myself? But
I think it's that sort of mentality that keeps people doing it. And then if you've got to do it in your own, in your bedroom and all that sort of thing, it's also that sort of instant gratification. People think, right, I can do it, I can get running. You're talking 5-6 months before you actually see cash come into your bank account. By the time you set things up, you've gone in there, you've actually found deals, etc., and those deals then have to start, and after they've started, you've got to get them, the cash through in the bank. You've got to plan it properly, and look, if you've got mentors around you and people are going to help out with that, great, but I wouldn't rush it. I think everyone's always obsessed with an overnight success, but the greatest things ever done, in my opinion, be that sport, business, military, or recruitment, is give yourself a bit of time to be really good at your craft before you jump
yeah.
in. But
it's definitely a long game, and I've learned that even 2 years in, and that's why a lot of people, even just as a consultant, I'm sure you've had it in your business, hopefully not a lot, but people they go into it and like, oh god, this is not what I thought it was. They don't last any longer than 6 months or 12 months. It really is a long game, and the thing is, if you really are sort of in it for the long game, you will reap the rewards long term.
Definitely.
Without a doubt. I mean, where did you start then, Toby? So I mean I guess probably you could probably sort of vouch this maybe, but probably a good idea then is for people to, as you said, not be patient, but make the most out of the environment that you're in and the business that you're in, and probably put money aside, as you said. So you're more than likely not to take money out. You want to, if you really want to grow it, you're going to need to reinvest. So get money aside and make sure that you're in a good spot. So when you do go out on your own and you get those minor setbacks, you're not in a sort of real difficult position. So
it just takes that little bit longer, and I think, you know, I hate it when I see people sort of running out and getting desperate. And as you know, in recruitment, the more desperate you get, the more you grab for the deal, and you lose your process, and it sort of goes haywire. So I think, you know, proper planning is so important to any type of recruitment, but particularly setting up your business in the meantime as well.
So where did you start then? Did you literally start out of your home, or was you straight in an office, or did you start
no,
with your
so
business
I,
partners?
As I said, I'd sort of done 10 years before that sort of, that, you know, that sort of time. And you know, I'd grown up in a very entrepreneurial sort of environment at the time. I joined the S3 group when it was 400 odd people strong and left when it was about 2,500, 8.5 years later.
Wow.
And then joined another big company for a couple of years and just saw two very different ways of doing it. But I always knew that I wanted to build a business. At that stage, the group was 13 different companies, and it was a sort of lots of different startup mentalities. And I loved that, and I loved the idea of it. When it floated, it was a slightly different proposition. And so, but the idea and the desire to want to build your own business was very much still part of that.
Yeah.
So I knew I needed two different ways of doing it. I knew I needed to learn a little bit more through the stuff I've got at BNC, which is a very different way of doing business. And then that gave me the opportunity to think, right, I need to do this properly. At the time, I had a kid, I had another one on the way, I had responsibilities, mortgages, et cetera, et cetera. So I knew that I had to make a choice that wasn't going to be, you know, me in my bedroom. So there was we put a business plan together. And I sort of got some mentoring from my father-in-law at the time, my brother-in-law, and we're going to take it on the roadshow and get some investment. But in the end, the plan looked so good that it became a family business, and they helped support that sort of stuff. But I knew I had to get a level of financial backing to make sure I did it properly,
sure.
rather than did it with those extra responsibilities around me at the time.
Sure, and that also buys you time as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it was important. There wasn't any pressure.
Yeah.
To immediately do it, and because we didn't have any pressure to do that, we did immediately do it. We did our first deal in 2 weeks. By the end of the third month, we'd done our first 100 grand month as a team. We were profitable within 4 or 5 months as a business, and used less than a third of the investment that we raised for it, and grew dramatically from it. And I think that was because of that lack of pressure.
Lack of pressure.
Yeah.
So you can then really focus on the service and what you really stand for and your values and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. So obviously I noticed, which must have been a big achievement, but I noticed obviously, so when did you open? So have you got an office in New York now then, or have you just got someone over there?
No,
have you actually got an office over there?
There's eight of them out in New York at the moment.
Wow.
They grew by 142% last year. They've nearly beaten it already so far this year, 2.5 months into it. So
what sort of challenges did you face over there, Toby? Obviously, I mean, that's just a whole new dynamic to your business, right?
New York, we've been very lucky with. We've got a couple of great people who went out there at the very start, and they've done a great job at getting some more really good people into it. The biggest issue with New York, the market is almost ready made for us over there because it sort of mirrors our UK client base.
Yeah.
But the biggest difficulty of getting over there without question or being out there is staff. So it's the classic case of cobbler's shoes. But we can grow dramatically. We've got to find the right people, and it is a very different way of doing it. You'd imagine American recruiters to be the best in the world, but to find the good ones, which we've been very, very fortunate to do, isn't easy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with that then, obviously, look, you guys have clearly grown, and I think that a lot of recruitment business owners, you probably know a lot more than I do, but it seems like there's sort of a very common bottleneck for recruitment business owners is growing and getting the right people. Mm. So, I mean, what would you put the core reasons down to sort of you guys being able to achieve that and achieve that growth?
Yeah, look, I was very lucky to have a great group of people around me at the start, which was good. And you know, I think probably seven or so of the first 10 people are still very much, you know, the cornerstone of the business. We had a vision of where we wanted to go. They've been incredible for me. And I think if you've got trusted people around you who are really ready to put the effort that the guys have, you know, together with us. It's been a lot easier. So if you've got the right team around you, you can do some great stuff. If you get the wrong people at the start, it can be a lot tougher a journey. And we found that, you know, it hasn't always been 100% with every venture.
Never is going to
you know,
be,
venture,
of course,
every venture
yeah.
that we've tried. You know, we've got a group of businesses now. And a couple of times we haven't started them with the right people. And if you haven't got that at the start, it's very difficult to grow it as quickly and aggressively as we have with the whole group.
Yeah, so it really does come down to people, which is why we've got a job at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Literally. So, I mean, with that, just to tie in with that, I mean, yeah, it's about attracting the right people and the good quality. So have you, how have you done that? Have you sort of leveraged your employer brand? Have you got someone who's just dedicated in your business to getting people? Because, again, I think that's where sort of recruitment business owners struggle as well, isn't it? How do you find these people?
And that's the most important part of my job now. The most important thing I have to do is to make sure we find, retain, engage, you know, the best people possible. We've actually just for the first time this year, sort of, you know, circa 50 people strong. It's the first time we've taken an internal recruiter. She's now focused full time on bringing people in. We want to bring at least three people into the group every single month at the moment.
Yeah.
And we've done that. That's about 70% of that has been direct, 30% of it through agencies. So there's some great reps or reps that we work with, and we've been very fortunate to partner with some good people who've helped us on there. I know you know the guys at Hoxo who've been great with us at sort of helping to create the brand and do some really clever stuff around how we put ourselves to market. And also then we've just been, you know, obsessive about doing it. The leadership team there know that they have to grow their business to be successful, their teams and their desks. So they're constantly talking to good people out in the marketplace. And also it's not just looking about, you know, recruiters out there. We've had some huge success with people from a massive variety of backgrounds. And that look at some of our top performers, and they could have been brokers in the marketplace, in the financial markets. They could have been, there's a couple of people who've run pubs and clubs, and there's a croupier who we've just taken on. There's a guy who played American football out in the States for Philadelphia Eagles. There's a whole difference, and the fundamental bit is saying, right, okay, we want to find good people, and those good people, then we can have a really strong training program to get up to speed. And, you know, within 6 months, someone who's never done it can be as good as someone who's been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah, I think that's the most important part, because obviously I didn't come from any recruitment background, and I think it's about joint making sure clearly what you guys are doing, and making sure that you give them the time, and if they're doing the right actions, have the right sort of core attributes, then that they'll get the training, and you can sort of really mold them into a brilliant recruiter.
Definitely.
Which I think is great, because obviously there's a lot of businesses out there who have way too high expectations, set obviously ridiculous KPIs, etc., and that's what obviously deters and sort of sets people up to fail sometimes. But I think that's really interesting. I think just something to point out, because I think with being a recruiter now, there's a lot of debates over should we just, what's cold calling? Do you need to do that anymore? Is it just social media and all this? But what you've just said there in terms of how you've grown your business and all that, it's everything, isn't it? It's not just loads of this or just loads of that.
Oh, no.
You have to do everything. It's not just one right way.
Yeah,
I think that's the right approach.
It always sort of bugs me, that sort of the death of cold calling, etc.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clickbait at its absolute worst. Look, for me, the job at its absolute core is a people job, and you've got to make sure you're there and you're influencing and you are a a person who is good on the phone. If you're not good on the phone, you're going to struggle in recruitment.
Yeah,
but
100%.
Also, you've got to get out in front of people. You've got to be, presence. You know, we were at a trading conference today with 1,000 people in our space, and that importance of being face to face with good people is essential. It's got to be about building your brand on social media and making sure the brand is going to work for you when you're sleeping, etc., and increasing your reach so much. So I'm just a massive believer that this job has got so many different fundamental parts to it, and all of those things. If you want to be the best in the world at what you're doing, then you've got to be really good at all of them and work hard to perfect the art. It is an art of recruitment. It is an art of
100%. Definitely. I think, it's interesting to say that because something I did want to ask you, because it seems like you guys are really putting in some resources to it. And I noticed that some of you guys on LinkedIn are doing videos for jobs. And obviously, you've got your own sort of show. I mean, two questions, really, because how did you get, firstly, how did you get people to buy into that? Because I know it's it can get a bit of friction sometimes. But I've obviously spoke to... my colleagues, a few of us got in front of the camera. Some of us really didn't want to.
Yeah.
So how did you get that buy-in from people?
I think you're going to get that. Some people are a lot more happy in front of the camera than other people, and the last thing I want to do is force people into something which they're deeply unhappy about.
For sure.
And not everyone, not everyone in the office does it.
Yeah.
But I think the more you do it, the better you get at it, the more comfortable you get at doing it, and it becomes second nature, like with anything. And look, for me, it's about making sure people see the benefit.
Mm.
And what people sometimes do is just dictatorially tell people exactly what they've got to do and why they've got to do it, and there's no, or not even why they've got to do it. They just tell them they've got to do this sort of thing, and it loses the buy-in.
Mm.
But we spend a lot of time communicating in our business, and we tell people exactly what the why and what it's going to do for them, and then they'll try it. And I think if you're there and you're working with people and you're telling people what's in it for them, as soon as you get to that sort of stage, people will tend to do the right thing. And to me, it's very, very clear the benefits of getting that sort of stuff. But you have to pump the message, you have to over-communicate, and you have to get people making sure they understand it and as passionate about it as you are.
I think if you
as the leader of a business are hugely excited and confident about something, then people follow that and they understand it as well.
100%. I think the thing is, it's just obviously as a recruiter, you need to value your time, don't you? So this sort of instant pushback and sort of what we spoke about where I worked is, it is okay. Well, what am I going to get in return for me doing these videos?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that is the hard part, because it can be hard to quantify, and
it can be, but then it can also be massively easy once you start getting the wins from it. And this is against the normal recruiter mindset. The normal recruiter mindset is absolutely about instant gratification. And people are looking for quick wins. They've got pressure on themselves because they need to build. They don't want to blank. They want to hit their KPIs for a day, et cetera, And I think if you can just be a little bit more chilled about that, for want of a better expression,
yeah,
and actually understand that this is a long game and you're in it for a career, and all of these little ratchets do that. I'll give you an example. We've made over £150,000 over the last month from a magazine that we put together, which put the 100 most innovative fintechs to get influential fintechs together, and it took a little bit of time, and it probably cost us a couple of grand to put together, more than that, and off the back of that. That time and investment has dividended 150k, and you can look at people there who've had that sort of stuff. Not only that, though, there's a massive quantifiable bit behind it, where you're there, and everyone at this conference of 1,000 people knew who we are, because there's 200 magazines with Harrington Star plastered all over it, and people know where you're at. And if we weren't investing our time and money into those sort of things, it would be a lot more difficult
to be
known in the space. And you'd just be another voice,
For sure, and it's about adding value, isn't it, up front? And that's clearly what you're doing, and that's sort of you're getting a return on that, because you're putting the professionals that I think it's important as well, because we do this where I work. You do have to, in my opinion, I think you really should try and get involved in the industry you recruit for. And sort of try and add value and understand what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. I see you do that a lot.
I think it's so important. And
yeah.
The thing is, I think sort of one of the big things that I noticed was when we'd done a few videos was when we did go to these specific networking events, people that I wouldn't have spoken for, I might have them on LinkedIn, would basically, it would be such a warm conversation because it might be an opening conversation. That person would go, oh, I saw your videos. Or do you get what I mean? So yeah. That could be like four or five, even if it's just four or five warm conversations, that wouldn't have happened if you didn't put anything out there and you didn't receive anything back. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. So I think that's the missing part where people will put out this stuff. They may not see much traction or engagement straight away, but don't realize how many people they can reach and actually touch. And when that them person thinks, you know what, I might be looking for a job, or I'm not sure, oh, who's that guy? He did that video. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the key to it. But I think that's amazing that you guys are really, really sort of trying to have an impact and really understand what's going on in industry. I think that's super important. But what one thing I wanted to ask you, Toby, because I'm sure you've seen a lot of people in your time, and I'd really want to ask you this. So I'm sure you've seen plenty of top billers and still do daily in your business. So what would you say is the most sort of common trait or habit that these top billers have? Would you say?
Do you know what? It's a funny thing. I don't think there's a one thing. I see top billers in four different guises. And I think sometimes they have a little bit of all of them, but they will definitely lean to one of the four.
Yeah.
So the first type of top biller is what I call the grafter. So that's someone who is literally going to be first in, last out. They're going to be busy all the time that they're in there, and they're just going to work harder and cut out the noise than other people. The job in itself is simplified. They do the simple things well, and they just do more of it than other people.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is attainable for anyone.
100%.
The second part behind that then is the connector. And that's one of those people who've got that sort of encyclopedic knowledge of people in their space. They remember it straight away. They've got that sort of database in their head. They're great at going out and putting people together, and they can remember a candidate who they spoke to 2 years ago who's suddenly great for this job, which they speak to. They're able to piece the market together, and they're a great individual at networking events and all that sort of stuff. They're very, very strong in mind and do it. You then got the competitor. So this is a person who has to win, and they'll do whatever they need to do that. And that can sometimes be a difficult person to work with.
Yeah,
I've seen it. I've seen good and bad in that sort of trait. Yeah, for me it was 100% the way I had to do it. I was an awful loser. So the thing that drove me to be a grafter was the fact that I just really wanted to win. Other people I've seen with that, it means they sort of put out some pretty Machiavellian tactics within it. You've got to be careful with the competitor. And then the final one is a thinker. And the thinker is the person who invests a load of time to knowing the marketplace. They absolutely know the ins and outs of it. They're credible with their client base. They know their technology or their industry or whatever it is, their market really, really well. And they can have very, very clever thought leadership and partner-based conversations with their customers based off their sort of encyclopedic knowledge of the marketplace.
Nice.
So if you've got any of those four traits, you're probably going to do
pretty well. You've got every chance.
If you've got all four of them put together, you're going to probably be one of the best in the world.
Yeah, no, I really like how you've done that. And I think that's great that you've structured it that way, because I think, anyone has the capability if they have the right core skills and the right attitude to be a top biller, haven't they? And I think that's great. It's not just one thing that's going to make you a top biller. So I really like that. That's good. So look, Toby, thank you so much for your thoughts. I mean, I'd love to know what's going on with Harrington Star at the moment then. What, obviously you mentioned that you've now got this internal person, seems like you guys are growing. So what are you sort of excited about, and what's going on at the moment?
I'm sort of guys perpetually excited about everything. So that's great. I keep on saying it. It's like every year I say there's never a better time to join the business and all that sort of thing. I genuinely think that we're looking to expand aggressively this year, both in the UK and in America. New York's going really well. We'd like to explore opportunities throughout the rest of the states where I see massive growth. We want to point out to Europe this year and Asia if the right opportunities and the right people come about. We're a very people-led business. We're looking at doing some acquisitions if the right sort of businesses come out, and looking to various different markets. I'm quite excited about the how fintech can lead over to insurtech and all that sort of areas as well.
Within that,
North Star, our commercial business, which does data, cybersecurity, software, and sales, we want to expand out in the UK and also take it and launch it in the US and launch contracts out in the US as well. So look, growth's on the agenda, and alongside that growth, responsible growth by also making sure we look after our people who are here now, give them the careers that we want to do, and continue with the strategy of being a multi-brand, multi-niche business that creates entrepreneurial opportunities for great people in our business.
Love that. Amazing. Look, honestly, I think obviously still got plenty to go and plenty to achieve, Toby, but what you're doing so far, it's definitely to be proud of, and great work, honestly. Great work. Well, I mean, how can people connect with you then, Toby, or sort of find out a bit more about you guys?
So to find out more about us, we just had the new website built, which is harringtonstar.com. Two R's in Harrington, two R's in Star. Get in touch with me at toby.babb@harringtonstar.com. Give me a call on 0203-587-7007. I'm always interested in speaking to great people. So, just give me a shout. And
cool,
on the top of that as well, whilst you were so kind to say that stuff about me, it is very, very rare to see people who are as passionate. You know, I first met you when you were at an event. You come on your own. You reached out to someone to get some mentorship. I think it's brilliant. I think you're doing a fantastic job with what you're doing. And I love to see people who are as passionate as I am. You know, I've been in this industry for 18 years, and to see someone who is as dedicated, enthusiastic, and trying new things as you is extremely rare. So, man, I'm very excited about you and your future, and well done for doing this. And I wish you the best of luck for the future.
No, I really appreciate that, Toby, and thank you for your time. So I'll no doubt speak to you soon. So thank you.
Definitely will. Thanks.
All right. See you later.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.